The college football playoff semifinal that nobody saw coming. It's Miami and Ole Miss, and we have the best preview and breakdown in the world on the internet and beyond here at Crane & Cone. Appreciate you guys joining. Make sure, if you're not subbed, you know the deal. Go ahead and lock in. If you're new here, walk in the front door, sit down. I'll bring you a drink. By the time you leave, you're going to be ready to subscribe. Former Michigan quarterback David Cone, former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane. And guys, you talk about a matchup of two different identities. And this is what I love. All right, it's fun when two teams that are similar play each other. Like, we always enjoy that, right? But what I love the most is when you have a team that's identity is one thing and their style of play is one thing, and another team who's the exact opposite on the end of the spectrum. It's like the triple option versus the air raid, right? But when you look at Miami, and Blaine, I want to start with you on this one because, again, you've been higher on Miami than most for longer, and turns out you were right. When you look at Miami defensively, because this is what's going to decide the game, can you not only get to Trinidad Chambliss, but can you get him down with Bain and Mezidor and the rotation they use with only four? Because that's what they've been able to do. You bring a spy, that's fine. That's that extra fifth guy. You can still hang out in the window and coverage a little bit. But can Miami get Trinidad Chambliss' ass on the ground, or is he going to be able to whirling dervish these guys like he's done everybody, which therefore leads to Ole Miss's most deadly play, and that's the scramble drill?
I want to sit here and say yes. I think you can look at these kind of two guys that Miami are going to see, one guy that they've seen recently, and that's Marcel Reed at Texas A&M. And not only were they able to get back there to Marcel Reed, but they were also able to get him on the ground. Look, it's not going to happen every single time. Obviously, with Trinidad Chambliss, he's one of those guys, especially a quarterback, who's quick twitch and he's tough to touch in a phone booth. But I think with Mezidor and with Bain and kind of the stunts and the games that they play up front, I do think you're going to be able to surprise Trinidad Chambliss a couple times and get him on the ground. Is he going to make plays? Sure. Is he going to break some tackles in the backfield, run around, and probably complete a pass? Sure. But that's a tough way to live, especially you're in offense against Ole Miss. It's going to have to be a guy who's going to have to play hero ball. But I will say this, as important as it is for Miami up front to get to Trinidad Chambliss, it is just as important for them to tackle as well in the secondary that they've been doing the entire playoffs. Ole Miss is a team that is built for big plays, but also taking quick hits, especially outside, and replacing the run game with quick passing. Mm-hmm. If you can tackle well in the secondary, you can jump balls like Keontae Scott did early in that game against Ohio State and keep playing physical. I think Miami is one of those teams, and if you go look at the odds from a national championship standpoint, they're right there with Indiana, right there with Oregon. Then Ole Miss falls off the back a little bit. So, yes, I do think Bain and Mezidor are going to be getting back there and also get him on the ground for a couple sacks, but do expect Trinidad to still be Trinidad.
Well, and I'm showing Blaine Miami as a 3.5-point favorite with the total sitting there at 51.5. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's what it opened as well. So not a lot of movement when it comes to the spread and not a lot of movement when it comes to the total. I mean, as well, they're both sitting right technically where they opened.
Well, and Cone, I think, you know, when we're looking at this matchup, Miami's defense, Ole Miss's offense, Ole Miss's ability to line up and be able to run the ball with Kiwon Lacy is going to be huge as well to keep Trinidad out of these predictable downs. But, you know as well as anybody, when you have a quarterback that is mobile, that is going to make the pass rush lanes have to be more disciplined. Bain and Mezidor know that. These pass rushers know that, which does kind of slow you down a little bit. But if you can get Kiwon Lacy going in the run game, which we've seen it. I mean, the Son of a Gun won the Doak Walker Award, I believe. I mean, he's the closest thing to Marcus Lattimore from a size and ability standpoint that I've seen in a while when you watch him run. You've got to get him going because I don't care if you've got Trinidad Chambliss or the fastest man in the world at quarterback. If you get in a 3rd-and-9 consistently against Miami, they're going to rip your limbs off and beat you to death with them. I don't care how fast you are.
Well, first of all, I spent most of yesterday just trying to mentally comprehend that we're not getting Buckeyes Bulldogs in the semifinal. And you know what? I absolutely love this underdog matchup. Ole Miss and Miami fans have been texting me and messaging me more this past week than any other fan base. I love this matchup. Let me just go ahead and get to the end of the movie here for you, Jake, on your question about whether or not Miami's going to be able to get home. They're going to get to Trinidad Chambliss. Like, if you think that you're going to play four quarters against this Miami defense and they don't have any pressures or any sacks, like, you're just just out of your mind. They have 12 sacks in two games of the college football playoff so far. And as great as Trinidad Chambliss is at eluding pressure, Marcel Reed is one of the shiftiest quarterbacks in the country. They got to him 7 times. Okay. So just go ahead and prepare for that. Can Ole Miss still be effective on offense despite Miami's defense? That's the main question. And I think that not only Lacey in the run game, like you talked about, but the way Trinidad Chambliss handles quick game, I think is going to be his biggest best friend. The template to be able to move the ball successfully against this Miami defense is the exact same template that Carson Beck used against that Buckeyes defense, where he looked like he understood the assignment, get the football out, have success in quick game. Who cares if you're throwing for 120 yards rather than 320 yards? The goal is to move the football. Let's do it methodically and do it effectively. I think that that's something that Ole Miss can do on offense against this Miami defense.
And I'll tell you this much. With Charlie Weiss Jr., their ass ain't going to be afraid to throw it deep. That's the other thing with Ole Miss. Like, this isn't, Blaine, this isn't going to be Ohio State here. Let's run the ball half the time and throw it underneath 10 yards and maybe take a shot every now and then, Jeremiah Smith. It's bombs over Baghdad with these guys. They are going deep. So if you're Miami, you can't sit here and just try and rob everything underneath and live in this world of, that's why, you know, the point about the quick game cone and Trinidad taking that, if Ole Miss is able to hit a couple deep shots early, that should open that up a lot more, which would totally negate the pass rush. So I think it's
been the reverse a little bit for Trinidad Chambliss and what I've seen. And this is the last game against Georgia and really the first game against Georgia in the regular season. What he's done is he's taken free release on the hitches, spaces, spots, snags, all that sort of quick game stuff. He's taking that free release when it's available early in the game. And then you see DB start to creep up, not quite full pressure, but they creep up a little bit. And then what does he do? Not necessarily taking shots over the top. He's saving that for a lot of times at the end of the game, the back shoulder fade. I mean, the kid throws the back shoulder fade as well as anyone in the country. You saw it in that touchdown he threw against Georgia after Kirby went for it on fourth at midfield. That's really where he has a very good feel for what the DB's leverage is giving him there on the defensive side.
Well, that's why it's going to be interesting to see how Miami plays it early.
Yes.
Right? Because that's going to dictate it. My point was that if they do play up, if they do play tight, if they do try and take away that quick game window, Ole Miss will not try and force that thing. They will let it fly down. Yes. They'll give you slot fade. They'll give you that poco. They'll give you all type of stuff down the field, which is going to be interesting to see.
But and he's reading that a lot. 100%. See, that's the thing. Just like 100%. We talk about the RPO run pass option, a lot of these are choice routes that the wide receivers and the quarterback are so in tuned and so on the same page that they're reading that post snap.
Yeah, and that's really, really hard to defend. It's one of the reasons that Julian Edelman felt like he was always open with Tom Brady in the NFL.
True.
An option route gives you a bunch of options. And as a DB, I can't leverage you right down the middle. I can't give you a two-way go. I've got to send you somewhere. Yeah. And if you can just go where I send you, and that's how it's supposed to be, that's tough.
Let me ask you – I want to ask you these questions. Obviously, you have to mix it up, but if you're the DC for Miami, are you more man this game or are you more zone?
Georgia came out
in that first half and ran a lot of zone.
I am more man because I want to just go ahead and get to the point of when the play breaks down and it's a scramble drill. At least we're already manned up. Like, I don't have to transition from zone to man in the scramble drill. And then, look, you know, from a option standpoint and then from a leverage standpoint, you know, pre-snap, when I'm in man, my eyes are on you the whole time. Like, I have man eyes. I'm not reading cue to two like it's quarters or a cover two or things like that. To me, it's more of, are you going to play true match coverage when you get your clusters and your bunches and your stacks and things like that? Against Ole Miss, because they will out-formation you as well. That's another thing Charlie and Lane do a really good job of. So if it's me, again, you got to mix it up. But really, it's what are you doing on 3rd and 7?
I'm mixing it up constantly.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, against zone, the quarterback from a decision-making standpoint has to find the right zone and deliver the ball, okay? But against man, the decision-making is easier, but the ball placement is more paramount. Mm-hmm. Well, Trinidad Chambliss does both of those pretty well. So I think they've got to mix it up and hope that Mesidor and Bain can get home to him without having to bring extra pressure. And look, against the Buckeyes, they were still getting creative with stunts. Remember the very first third down when they had the sack, Bain and Mesidor on the same side. They're running a stunt with Mesidor at the 3 technique. I'm excited to see if they're going to do some more of that. But there was a lot of times too where they were bringing some fire pressure and then bailing Mesidor out on the back end. Not my favorite thing to do. If you have a pass rusher like that, I like to bring him. But But again, when the entire defense is expecting that and you're dedicating extra resources on the line to that and you bail him out in the flat, that's where they can get home with a linebacker or maybe a corner cat or something
Then that's why getting there with four becomes so important. Because as much as I can do and get weird with four, and if I got seven that are in the back end, counting linebackers, obviously, then I can really do some things to you coverage-wise. But let's flip it to the other side here. This is where I think the biggest disadvantage in the game lies. And that's and we have given Ole Miss a ton of credit for what they've been able to do defensively the past couple years, getting away from that Harlem Globetrotters style of, well, we're just going to score a lot of points and maybe we'll get a couple stops. Ole Miss has gotten better defensively. And they've continued to get better. And they got some good stops against Georgia in the second half to give themselves a chance to win the game. And they did. But this Miami team has found this run game. And it is, to me, one of the most lethal 1-2 punch combos. And if Carson Beck could run the ball at all, you know, it would be an even bigger nightmare. Of talented offensive line that is overtly physical but can move their feet. You have multiple backs at Miami that can do it. But good God, Mark Fletcher right now is running like a man possessed. He's a big guy that plays with low leverage. He is knees to face mask, which is really tough to tackle. Blaine, can Ole Miss stop Miami running the ball? Can they stop him running the ball?
What do you consider stopping?
Less than 250? Because that's
on the
that's
ground.
On the ground. Man.
Well, if they go for 250, yeah. Put a bow
I'm
on this
I'm telling
thing.
You right now, I think they're going to go for over 200 at least.
If they go over 200, then, I mean, this game
is
going to be 45-43 or 43-10. Because not only does that mean you're getting killed up front, that means Miami's probably holding the ball the entire game.
Yeah.
The entire game. And if you're Ole Miss, that is a recipe for disaster. Is Miami going to be able to run the ball against Ole Miss? Yes, I believe so. I think Georgia was able to run the ball against Ole Miss. But at what extent can they run the ball? Are they killing you for 7-8 every time on the ground? Or is it a tough 3 yards? Is it a tough 4 yards? Is it a tough 6 yards? I think if Ole Miss can live in that type of world, I think that's probably the best world you can live in. But as good as Mark Fletcher is, I think there's something scarier out there, and I think it's this Miami offensive line. These guys are different.
Yeah, they're better in Georgia. They're better in Georgia.
That might be the best offensive line left. I think you can put them against Indiana, and it's a real conversation. Ole Miss, can you stop the run? But can you put any pressure on Carson Beck at all?
Yeah.
At all. Because if Carson Beck can just sit back there, read a book, start writing poetry, go over his New Year's resolution, then it's going to be a tough day for this defense. It really is. So you're going to have – if it's me – which is going to sound crazy, I guess, to a certain extent. Look, sooner or later, you're just going to have to stack the box and pray for your corners. Like that is what it's going to be, because this isn't Georgia, right? Georgia was okay at running the football. These are five humongous people up front who are pissed off, and a Mario coach team with the culture instills from the offensive line of, we're going to punch you in the face, and when we knock you out, we're going to keep punching you in the face until someone has to come pull us off you. And I do think Miami's going to be able to do that. And not only do you have that up front, but you have a lunatic at running back. Yeah. A lunatic. Every time Mark Fletcher got into the coin toss, I was like, he's going for a buck 50.
Yeah.
He's going for a buck 50. So if it's Ole Miss, it's going to be a tough task. It really is. But if you give up anything over probably 150 to 160 yards, you're probably not going to win this game.
Well, Cone, it's like, all right, here's the plan if you're Pete Golding. We're going to go out there early and just do what we do. We're not going to overload anything. We're not going to overstack anything. And just see, right, even if it's only a couple plays, if we can operate in this world and be okay. I'm not saying, you know, crawling past the line of scrimmage, you know, tackling guys in the backfield and this, that, and the other. But just survive. It's what if you can't? Like, what is the answer? Is the answer, hey, we're not gonna overload the box, we're not gonna overstack, but we're gonna start moving a lot, slanting, a bunch of different run stunts, your tons, things like that, which does make you vulnerable. But man, I mean, at some point you've got to try and apply pressure to Miami to slow down this run game, or Carson Beck's gonna just work play action. It's gonna be the Malachi Tony, CJ Daniels show for the rest of the time, and you're cooked.
Here's my one concern for Miami on offense in this game. Let's go back to the performance against the Buckeyes. Like I just said about Carson Beck, he played like a quarterback who understood the assignment. That's the number one defense over there across from us. They have first round draft picks at all three levels of the defense. I need to get the football out of my hand. This isn't five and hitch, sit back in the pocket and throw bombs as far as I can and have a 400 yard performance. Quick game was a success. Run game was a success. Are they going to have a similar mentality, or are they going to look past the Ole Miss defense and say, well, we've already beaten the best defense in the country, so this is going to be easy? If they do that, Miami will lose this football game, because what's been so special about Miami in these past two games is they've played like a team with a chip on their shoulder. They've played like a team who almost missed the college football playoff because they were on the chopping block. That's what's made them special. If they go in with that same mentality against the Ole Miss defense that they had against the Buckeyes defense, then I think good things will happen. And as far as the run game goes, if they rush for 200 yards, put a bow on this thing, because the best way to beat Miami is to get Carson Beck to turn the football over. Had six interceptions in their two losses combined this year. You're not going to get him to throw interceptions if they're running the football for 200 yards.
Well,
right?
And Cone, to Blaine's point, Carson Beck, it feels like every game they play, I watch him, he's got all day to throw it. Like, I'm just not – I mean, you look at Malachi and you give them time. Like, Carson's going to – if he gets comfortable and in a rhythm, he is going to slice you up.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, is he – what is that comfort level? Is that comfort level because he's poised, or is that comfort level misguided because he doesn't have enough respect for the Ole Miss defense? Because that's where you can give up a big play, especially, look, Pete Golden over there. And that you talk about – like, Miami was the underdog team in this college football playoff until Ole Miss went on this winning streak. Yeah. So they don't need any extra motivation. One strip sack, one tip ball, pick six. That's all they need to stay in this thing. Again, they didn't just stay neck and neck with Georgia and find a way to hit a game-winning field goal at the end. They were down 21-12 and came back on those boys. They came back on the team that is the second half team. So I wouldn't put anything past Ole Miss right now.
Man, I just can't wait for this game. Blaine, you have anything else to add here?
Yeah, I mean, what do Miami's third downs look like? Right, because if it's third and three, and it's third and two, and it's third and four, they have you right where they want you, right where they want you. But if you can get into those third and five pluses, put it on Carson Beck to throw a first down. And look,
that
I will say this
down
against Ohio State. Man. I mean, they were 50% on third down, 50% 7 for 14. Right? If they're anywhere really close to that number, you're going to be in trouble. And I will say this: as Carson Beck, we all know, can't run. But he did a pretty damn good job against Ohio State, knowing when to tuck it, knowing when to go, fighting for a first down. He's not quick, right? He runs like a giraffe, but a little bit slower. But he can go get you a first down. So it's going to be key. And if I'm Ole Miss, look, I'm not coming out there running base and going to see. All right? I've seen a Final Destination movie enough to know sometime, sooner or later, someone's going to die. All right, so I'm coming out there, guns a-blazing. I'm bringing pressure from places you don't think it is, and you're not going to run the ball on me. I'm going to send all my troops. What did they used to do back in the city? I'm going to get the strongest guy in the city to defend the city for 24 hours. That's what Ole Miss is going to have to do.
Carson gained a lot of respect from me on that third down scramble when he put his shoulder down. I didn't know he had it like that, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, you're getting paid millions of dollars. Your ass better get that first down.
Well, sure. Exactly. But that's the part that we've criticized a lot with Carson Beck. And so to see him do that in the biggest moments, you know, I tip my cap to that.
And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Malachi Toney's going to run a punt back for a touchdown. Just remember I said that.
Crazy take. Yeah, I haven't seen him do that all year.
Yeah. In the comments, let us know what you think. We're going to have our prediction show with a very special guest coming up here shortly as well. Check out our Oregon and Indiana preview. We appreciate you guys and like the chances. Me not being very intrigued to see if Ole Miss can stop Miami on the ground. We're going. Gone.